I want to talk to you this morning about momentum. But I couldn't help but go to one of my favourite places. And riding a bike in a bunch, or as sometimes it gets called in the big races, a peloton, is actually, it's a really beautiful and amazing thing. There is a flow and there is a momentum to riding a bike in a bunch that you would never experience riding on your own. The reason being is that when you're actually in the draft, as it's called, that's being protected by the riders around you, that to do to ride at a particular speed, it requires about 30% less effort to do that speed than if you were on your own, in other words, out in the wind. So there is an amazing protection. But even more than that, there is an energy, there is a momentum, there is a flow while you're in the bunch that enables you to do much more than you would ever do on your own. And the first time I perhaps experienced that was when I hadn't been riding that long, and it got to a stage where I took on this big ride, and it was to ride from Devonport, in obviously on the northwest coast, over to Strawn. And the furthest I'd ever ridden at that point was about 100 k's. I think the longest ride I'd ever done was from Port Arthur back to Hobart. And we decided to do this ride that was 200 odd k's. And anyway, we sort of left Devonport with a wondering how it would go, wondering how we would get there, my friend and I. But I was actually so surprised, because I used to live in that area, and I knew what some of the hills and things were like at the start of the ride, and I knew what it was going to be like riding up to Sheffield, and then I knew what it was going to be like the other side of Sheffield and riding over Mount Claude before you actually get up onto the central plateau of Tasmania. And those things were in my mind, but what surprised me was just how quickly we got up some of those places, and some of those hills and things were not nearly as bad as I had imagined them to be and as what I remembered from when I used to drive them in a car. And the reason being was that the momentum and the energy of the bunch that we rode in just seemed to drag us along, and before we knew it, we were right at the bottom of the central plateau, the top of Lake Barrington, where you climb up, and from there it sort of spread out a bit. But pretty much we got up to that point in this bunch, and it was an amazing thing. I managed to ride a lot better than perhaps I'd ever ridden before and out of myself, and it wasn't because I was that well prepared or anything else. It was because there was an energy in the bunch that I was in that dragged me along, and I found myself doing a lot better than I ever thought I would by myself. Momentum is the product of mass and velocity. Momentum is the product of mass and velocity. In other words, weight and speed. It's a little bit different to that, but essentially that. Now, when we think about momentum, perhaps say in an organisation, whether that's a company, a family, a business, or a church, the number of people who are part of something will actually increase the mass, and the number of people who are actually engaged and participating and moving provides the velocity. Then we have momentum. And I want to encourage us, I'm going to talk this morning about personal momentum, but I just want to encourage us as we think about it as a church, and in coming weeks I'll drill down into some of these other areas. But why don't you decide, and I put out a challenge a little while back about the 6-week challenge, about, hey, why don't you just decide to turn up to church every week for 6 weeks and see if you develop a little bit of momentum in your spiritual life. There's more to it than turning up to church, but it's probably one of the best places I can think of to start. And there will be a pattern, and there will be something that actually happens, and I guarantee you will bless others, but you will find yourself blessed. Why not join the peloton? Take up the six-week challenge. Why not come to the Working Bee next Saturday? Why not turn up expectant and full of faith this Easter and see what sort of momentum happens in us as a group, but also what actually starts to develop in your own personal life? Now, I could go on and on about that. I'm going to leave that there. But basically, we need to get our mass or ourselves moving and keep moving. Momentum, really in a spiritual sense, is far more than just movement. It's not just movement for movement's sake. You see, you can expend a whole lot of energy on a treadmill or a running machine and you don't actually go anywhere, do you? Yes, you get fit and you do some of that, but if you think about where you went, here you are in a room, you started in a room, you finished in a room, you've expended a lot of energy, but you didn't actually go anywhere. Momentum in life is more than activity. In a kingdom sense, momentum is found through being positioned in the centre of God's will and God's purpose for you. We experience momentum when we're in the right place internally and externally with the right people with a purpose bigger than ourselves. And if you feel like life at the moment that it's not moving and there's not a momentum, I'm going to speak into some of this morning. But I think, just get this, maybe write this down. We experience momentum when we're in the right place, both internally and externally, with the right people, with a purpose bigger than ourselves. So what's it take to experience personal momentum? Perhaps you feel like, and most of us would say this in a physical sense, that you don't want to increase your mass. You see, if mass plus velocity, mass is a big part of momentum. You see, in bike riding, we don't like to have too much mass because it makes it much easier to get up the hills. But it's interesting, some of these big rides I've talked about, you know, that you actually get to the start line and you see some people that are not that built for bike riding. And you can either look down your nose at them or you can think, I'm so pleased that you're there being part of this. But what you do find is the fat guys get down the hills. The fat guys go down the hills fast because they have mass. How do we build personal momentum? I think number one, if you're taking notes this morning, that we have got to build our spiritual mass. We have got to build our spiritual mass. Do we want to remain a spiritual lightweight, or do we want to have spiritual authority? So how do we, if we go to the gym, and like I said, most of the people I look at here this morning are thinking, I don't want to gain mass. But if you know, if you're a skinny 17-year-old, you might think it's a good thing to bulk up. I thought Joey was doing a great job on the guitar this morning. He's good. It'd be great on a bike. But if we want to gain mass in the gym, there's pretty much two things that you do. You lift heavy weights, and you get a lot of protein in. You can take other substances that help, but essentially it is lifting heavy weights. If you want to get lean muscle, you lift lighter weights and you lift a lot of them. But if you want to get mass, you lift heavy weights and you get the protein in. It says this in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 7. It says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness, and to godliness goodness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith. Basically what he's saying is our faith is a starting point. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, you don't get there by being a nice person. You don't get there by having a lot of good things. You get there by faith. It is a step of faith. It is a step of faith to actually say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. Jesus, I believe that you died on a cross for me. Jesus, I'm actually prepared to trust my journey to you. And there is a step of faith where you step into the kingdom of God. That, if you like, is the starting point. That is where you stand like a skinny spiritual 17-year-old who hasn't been to the gym yet. And you've taken a step of faith. And you've walked into that place, but it's the starting point. Maybe it's like a gym membership. Who's ever completely wasted a gym membership? I remember having one once, and I completely wasted it. And even to try and make it work, that they would ring up occasionally and say, "Oh, we haven't seen you at the gym," and it would sort of add to the guilt. It's not only were you getting fat, but you were wasting money, you know, and the whole thing was just sort of heaping guilt on you. It's not what we want to do here this morning. But you know what? Building your spiritual mass does require some effort. How did Jesus say that we start? He didn't make it that complex, and we've been talking about that this year already. He just said to those that he called, he said, "Follow me." But the thing is, to follow actually requires a little bit of effort, doesn't it? You've got to watch where he's going. If you want to follow somebody in front, you've got to watch where he's going. And I'll come back to my cycling analogy again. But sometimes we sort of joke with somebody that's struggling when they're in a bunch ride to keep up. And we say, all you've got to do is one thing. One thing, nothing else. One thing. Follow that wheel. In other words, get yourself behind somebody and follow that wheel. But the thing is, if the speed is increasing and that person doesn't have the fitness or the strength to do that, well, they're not going to be able to follow. Eventually, they get what we call in cycling terms dropped. And it seems easy to follow, but sometimes we don't actually understand that to follow requires some effort. It's almost like we think, oh, we just sort of hook in and we're going to go. But if you're going to follow, if you're going to increase your spiritual mass, we've actually got to put in some effort. Peter says, hey, you're going to need to add some qualities to where you start if you're going to have some spiritual mass. Goodness. Goodness. In Australia, probably one of the highest compliments that you can give a male is to say, oh, he's a good bloke. But what does it mean to have goodness? You see, the thing is, the Bible tells us that goodness can only come from one place. Because as good as we are and as good as all sorts of things are, it says there is only one person who is good, and that is God. So you know what, if we want goodness, it comes from God alone. In other words, you've got to seek after Him, you've got to follow Him, you've got to get to know the Father, because that is where goodness comes from. Knowledge. I think knowledge is like the protein or the food to repair and grow muscles, if you like. And you'll find that in the Word through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word, through the influence and teaching of godly people. See, you can build spiritual mass, which will help you maintain your momentum. And I think these are some of the keys here. Reading the Word. And I'm just speaking real basic Christian stuff here. If you want to increase your spiritual mass, read the Word. Read the Word. I'd like to have a competition here and put up our hands, and I reckon we'd be surprised. Those that have actually been following Jesus for a while, who holds the record for not picking up their Bible for the longest amount of time? And I have been guilty at times myself of going way too long without picking up the word. Because life has a way of always leading us not to the important, but to the urgent. And there's always something more urgent than picking up the word, especially when it's on your phone. You know, Facebook pops up. And that can seem more urgent than actually reading the word. But if we wanna not be a spiritual lightweight, we've got to read the word. And I reckon, don't make it like a gym membership. Lift the guilt from your life. If you miss a few days, hey, who cares? Tomorrow's a new day. Just do it. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel guilty because you haven't been reading, because that's the thing that will heap coals on you. Just, did you know at the moment there's so many good ways to actually read? Who's got the YouVersion app on their phone? Now that is an absolute ripper because it has got so many reading plans and they're not heavy. I started off, the first one I ever did was like this read through the Bible in a whole year, Robert Roberts one, and it puts it in chronological order, and it's a great thing. But you know, you were reading three chapters a day and you're getting further and further and further behind. And then it had this little button which was cool because you could catch up and it would actually shift all the dates forward and I found myself having to keep doing that. But why don't you get some of those short ones? The stuff that's got all sorts of different subjects on and it's got devotionals and things with it that will actually engage you in that. Just do whatever you got to do to get yourself engaged with it. Doesn't really matter. You don't have to make it a big serious thing. It's meant to be enjoyed. Coming to church regularly and sitting under the sound of the word. Once again, it's when we preach there is something anointed about that. It's not about us who do it. It's about what the Holy Spirit does through it, and that's connection to the word of God. That's a way that we do it. Hanging around with godly people. Being part of a connect group, having a coach or a mentor as we get into that, as this year goes on and we engage in discipleship, those things will actually help us not be spiritual lightweights and gain spiritual mass. It says this in Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 12. And let's listen to this. You will know these verses, some of you. We're both here in Hobart and in the valley. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. So you'll be able to stand firm. You know what? It says to me there that you're not meant to fall over all the time. Sometimes we fall down and we get up again, but you know what? I think too many people who are on a Christian journey don't get momentum because we don't keep standing when we're supposed to stand. It's like every time we get a bit of momentum and something goes on, it's like the enemy sort of crafts a few things and stuff goes on and we find ourselves falling over, or we find ourselves discouraged, or we find ourselves distracted, or we find ourselves running out of energy, or we find ourselves tired. Whatever it is, you know, we were there, but then we were falling over. And that verse says to me that you will be able to stand, you know, in the kingdom. Yes, you can muck up, and there's always a Jesus there with a hand saying, I'm going to lead you back on the journey. But you know what? Your life was designed to have momentum. Your life was designed to go forward. Your life was designed not to fall over all the time, so that you actually go forward somewhere into your calling. And verse 12 says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. You know, as soon as life starts to get a bit of godly momentum, the enemy would like to put a stop to it. So, what's the antidote to that? I can tell you from the history, like the time that Alex and I have been leading this church here, there are times we get really good momentum. And you can just about guarantee every time that we do that the enemy finds little strategies to chip away and actually, you know, take things off that momentum. You know, and sometimes he actually has some success and sometimes he doesn't. Now, the thing is, he doesn't need to have success because we don't need to give him those ends. But at times we don't see it coming or whatever, and we allow it to happen. The enemy wants to do that in your life. He wants to chip away so that your spiritual momentum actually ceases. What's the antidote to that? How do we maintain godly momentum? Well, it says this. It says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. So how do we maintain godly momentum? Number two, this is not rocket science, but it's the Word of God and it's powerful in your life. Be strong in the Lord. And you might say, Dave, well, how do I do that? It's all good, very well for you to say, be strong in the Lord. Well, there are some scriptures that actually talk about our part in what God wants to do. And we're told that He is strong when we're weak. He is strong. We're told that there is all sorts of things that He can do. But there are these be words, like be strong, be courageous. In other words, there are times where you've actually got to call on what is in you. And you're not going to have it all, but you're going to have to say, all right, I'm going through a crappy season. You know, my marriage is broken up. Or something has fallen over at work, or things are not going so well with the kids. I didn't expect this. I feel like I didn't deserve this. No, you didn't. But you live in a broken world. What's the antidote? The antidote is to be strong. Not in yourself, not in your circumstances, but in the Lord. See, it's much easier to be strong, as I've already said, when you're cycling in a bunch than when you're on your own. And one of the things I've thought about, why is that? And there is energy, there is protection, there is direction, and there is motivation while you're in the bunch. Because I can actually find myself riding faster when I ride with just one other person, providing they're the right sort of person, when they just ride next to you rather than even where you're even drafting. So you're not getting any benefit whatsoever from the draft. It's just the motivation of having somebody beside you who is pushing you along a little bit. And generally speaking, when you do that, you would probably find that your speed goes up, probably, you know, an average of 2 kilometres an hour or 3 kilometres an hour when you've got somebody like that who is actually motivating you to go along. You see, there is motivation in a group. You see, when it gets tough, when you're feeling tired, you don't have to conjure up something that's not there. You've actually just got to say, you know what, I'm going to stand, I'm going to put on the armour of God, and I am going to be. I'm going to be who I'm called to be. I'm going to be the person that gets through this because I am strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I am strong in Him. In Him, in the Lord, in Jesus, there is strength, there is energy, there is protection, there is direction, and there is motivation. When you say, I'm going to be strong in the Lord, you are moving yourself out of that place where you would be on a road that takes you away from the purposes of God, away from moving forward, away from going to where you're called to go, and you actually put yourself in a place where there is strength, where there is energy, where there is protection, where there is direction, where there is motivation. Hey, Rachel, I want to encourage you. Did you know that recently, after our pop-up festival that we had in Bridgewater, and God's done some incredible things out there and opened doors more than we ever thought, and we had about 1,500 people there, but how many people did we have that said we wanted a follow-up phone call? 150. So we had 150 people. It wasn't just like, hey, they actually wanted somebody from a local church to call them and get in contact with them. And Rachel and Vicky actually sat by the phones, and I think one day they called about 90 people each or something like that. And overwhelmingly, I think the story was that, you know, they hardly got a person who was negative about it. Everybody was open and saying, "We're glad you called." What a testimony. Come on. Did they... Where were they strong? Where were they strong? They were strong in the fact that they turned up, that they got in front of the phone and they said that I'm going to do this. They had to do that. They had to make that choice. They had to get into that. But it was the Holy Spirit that actually then is able to open things up and start to do the work. That's what it is. Be strong in the Lord. And I want to encourage you, Rachel. I think as you get hold of that, as you get hold of the fact that, you know, you can be stronger, you can actually go further forward, you can go to places that once you would have probably never ever thought possible. But I think that you're going to find that there's a tenacity that's actually in you. And I believe this really prophetically now. Some of the things that, and actually I can speak really prophetically in this because I haven't actually sat down and heard your story and where you've been from, but I would imagine, you know, you've been through all sorts of stuff. And, you know, God is going to turn that around and he's going to use that to give you a tenacity that you haven't imagined before. And whenever you come against challenges and things like that, I want to encourage you that as you are strong in the Lord, there will be motivation, there will be energy, there will be protection, there will be direction. And you're actually going to lead people in that. It's not just for you. You are actually going to lead people in that. So, and we've started to see that already, but just be encouraged. Just step into it. Be strong in the Lord. Acts 16:16-18, it says this. It says, one day we were going down to a place of prayer. This is Paul, and it says we. So Luke was obviously there. We met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us around shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." So let's just get this. This is an unfortunate girl who has got this spirit that is using her to talk. She tells people's future. And obviously she's pretty accurate because people were making money from her. She sees Paul, Silas, and Luke. And the Spirit can't help but say stuff. Now the Spirit isn't talking rubbish, he's actually talking the absolute truth. The Spirit is speaking truth. Spirit is saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they've come to tell you how to be saved. That's interesting, isn't it? Because you'd think Paul would be saying, yay! Finally, somebody's gone before us. And this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned to the demon within her. In other words, he looked past the girl. The Bible tells us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and powers and principalities. In other words, we've got to take stuff on there rather than, you know, kicking people's bottoms. And he says, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Paul used his spiritual authority to deal with something that was threatening his momentum. So even though the Spirit was speaking the truth, it wasn't helpful. And it was trying to derail what they were trying to do. He had actually just started to get some momentum in Philippi. And if you read Acts, you find that he lands there in Philippi. They're led by the Spirit to go over there. And they look around, you know, oh, what's going on here? And there's no synagogue, because he was from a Jewish background. There was nothing going on. But he finds some women that are meeting and praying down by the river. Anyway, this really, really gun businesswoman by the name of Lydia gets saved. And if you read about her, she's a mover and a shaker. And she gets saved, and her whole family and household, and her household wasn't just mum and dad and the three kids. It was, you know, it could have been 100 people. They all get saved, and Paul's in this new place where there had been no church, where people didn't understand the gospel, suddenly starting to get spiritual momentum, and this spirit, who it really, to me, it sounds like it was sort of like a little terrier dog that was going yap, 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 and every time he's trying to start a conversation and talk to somebody, even though it's speaking the truth, it's yap, 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 yap. And sometimes you've got these yappy things in your life, don't you? And you think, okay, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to get on with what I'm called to do. But it's there in your ear. Yap, 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 yap. And even though your focus is here, you've got this thing dragging you off over here, and you can't quite focus on what you're supposed to do. And even though it was speaking truth, it was trying to derail them from what they were called to do. You see, truth is truth, yes. But the spirit in which it is delivered makes all the difference, doesn't it? You see, this spirit wasn't trying to help Paul. This spirit was actually trying to derail the momentum. The spirit through the girl was obviously speaking truth, but it wasn't helpful. It was noise, it was distraction, and it wasn't working towards their cause. And I reckon if we want to gain and maintain personal momentum, we've got to speak to the noise. We've got to speak to the noise. I'll explain that. What noises and distractions are you tolerating because you either don't want to rock the boat or you don't feel like you have the authority to deal with those noises? You see, we get what we tolerate. Often we don't experience momentum because the noise and the loudest voices lead us to mediocrity. And they might be based on truth, but they are of a different spirit. How many people have you had in your world when you feel like you're called to go somewhere and you're trying to do something and they want to come and bring truth, but they actually don't want to bring a spirit that takes you to where you're called to go? And sometimes it's like, yeah, I know that. I know I don't have enough money to do it. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, I know. And I'm not talking about putting wisdom aside. You see, wisdom, if it has the right spirit, actually brings encouragement. And I think sometimes we've got to get better at speaking to the noise. At saying, you know what, there are too many little yapping terriers in my world. You see, a terrier dog, have you ever heard those little dogs that, I remember them, as a kid we used to have a work for a local milkman and do a milk brown. And so we're getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. and we're running cartons of milk into houses. And, you know, there'll be some houses which would have these little dogs. Those little white ones like Grant's got. But those little... Gaynor's got. and you'd run up the steps. And there perhaps was a sort of a, you know, a typical front door and had the glass windows down each side, and they were probably a bit frosted, but you could see this little yappy dog going ballistic behind the door. Yes, Jeff. And going absolutely ballistic behind the door. You know, it's saying, I'm going to tear you to pieces. And occasionally, for some reason, the owner of the house would open the door. Maybe they, you know, wanted to pay their bill or whatever it was. And this little yappy dog would suddenly retreat behind the owner. And some of the things that would distract us and take us away, the momentum away from us, are actually not that scary. They are not that hard to deal with. They just make a lot of noise. They create negativity. They create distraction. They will take you away from your calling. And you see, all you've got to do to that little dog is stand up and look at it and take a step towards it. And we don't encourage kicking dogs, but, you know, that would be effective. And there are spiritual noises that are going on in the lives of, I feel this prophetically right now, that are going on in the lives of people around here, that perhaps are going on in this church, and we don't have to do anything amazing other than stand up, look them in the eye, and speak to them with the authority that we have, because we are no longer going to be spiritual lightweights, but we are going to speak with the authority that Jesus has given us and say, shut up. That's a theological statement. We get what we tolerate. See, what are those noises? Well, sometimes they are. They might be gossip. They might be negativity. It might be something that just keeps making that noise, like I was talking about. It might be someone who is close to you in your world, and maybe they're speaking what appears to be the truth, but a different spirit. It's a different spirit. And I love what the Old Testament writes about, and when I've spoken already this year about Joshua leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. And the two guys that made it the second time to the Promised Land and actually went in were Joshua and Caleb. And the thing the Bible wrote about Caleb was that he was a different spirit. See, while there was all this negativity and doom and gloom, you know, they went into the land, these spies. 12 spies went in and 2 of them come back and said, hey, we can take this, we can do it. The others spoke the truth. They said, oh yeah, there are giants and we felt like grasshoppers. Jess, if you want to join me, that would be cool, and the band can come up. It's dangerous in there. We could get nailed. All that stuff was true. But the guys who had a different spirit said, yeah, it's hard, it's big, it's a challenge, but you know what? God has led us this far. He's led us out of Egypt. He's led us through the Red Sea. He's protected us. So surely he's actually going to be with us into the Promised Land. They were of a different spirit. Come on, I reckon this year that we can actually foster a different spirit. I reckon we can build and maintain personal momentum. I'm going to speak in following weeks about group momentum and how you choose to be part of that and how that can bless your life and how that can move you forward. But I think that we've actually got to decide that we're no longer going to be spiritual lightweights. What we're talking about here is this stuff this year. You know, the iceberg is supported by 90% of its mass, which is actually under the water, and you don't even see it. You only see what is on top. If we want momentum, we've got to increase our mass. We've got to increase our spiritual mass. We've got to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a spiritual lightweight. I'm not going to be pushed over. I'm not going to fall over. I'm going to be knocked over by every breeze idea, every piece of negativity, every piece of thing that comes along. I'm actually going to stand, because the Bible says I can stand. I can stand firm. I can put on the armor of God. I can stand in the truth. I can stand in who I am. I can be standing in my calling. I can stand in my purpose, regardless of what's going on. I can be strong in the Lord. All you got to do is say, I'm going to be strong. And then God comes in and says, I can work with that. I can work with that. Sava, that's what God's saying to you right now. He's saying, I can work with that. I can work with that. Yeah, it's hard, but I can work with it. Be strong in the Lord. Not in Sava, be strong in the Lord. I can work with that. Come on, let's speak to the voices. Speak to the noise. Get rid of it. What is it? What are you tolerating? What are you tolerating? I know from our bit of experience with little kids that you can actually change the atmosphere of a house or a home at times very quickly by just speaking to the noise. You know, sometimes it's turning the TV off. Sometimes it's just dealing with something that's going on and bringing a shift. And with little kids, you don't... You know, they're all fighting and they're carrying on. And you don't really know who started or who caused it. But you just pick something and you deal with it. And you bring about some change. Come on, pick something and deal with it. Speak to the noise. Come on, let's stand. Whether we're here in Hobart or in the valley, you are called to live out the rest of this year and your life with a spiritual momentum. Yes, life's going to ebb and flow, but the momentum, that godly momentum, does not have to stop. It should increase, and it should build, and it should keep us moving forward. Let's not tolerate it. Let's not tolerate the fact that so often we find ourselves stalled and we find ourselves stuck. We don't need to. I'm not saying stuff's going to be hard, and sometimes, yeah, it is. Don't have to tolerate it.